Welcome to Roundhouse Roulette, a Walker, Texas Ranger podcast. I'm Evan Dalton, here with my brother Adam.
What up, what up?
And our reboot scooting compadre, Mr. Bob Leahy.
Boy, howdy.
Well, let me tell you, we are coming to you today with a very special mini-sode. Now, as you know, we here at Roundhouse Roulette are connoisseurs of Chuck Norris's absurdly awesome CBS action series, Walker, Texas Ranger. So much so that we've dedicated this entire podcast to rating and reviewing each and every punch-packed episode. But when news broke of a CW Walker reboot with Supernatural star Jared Padalecki literally rebooting in the titular role, we knew we'd have to cover it. That said, we are three kind of male super fans of the original series, and we've never seen an episode of Supernatural. So we thought it'd be fun to do a before and after discussion for the reboot's pilot episode. Meaning, we're going to talk about it first, watch it, and come back and talk about it some more. You guys up for that?
Oh, am I ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, I'm barely up for it. So. Well, before we hit play on episode one of Walker, is this reboot intended for fans of the original series, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if it's aimed at fans of the original show, but maybe people that would have watched the original, what, 20, 30 years ago would watch this now?
The show is 28 years old, the original Walker.
So the people that watched the original one when it came out and were you know, into it back then, I don't know if they're aiming for those people, but yeah, maybe a similar target demographic, okay, just 25 years later. That's my guess.
Okay. And then potentially fans of Supernatural, and there's a huge Jared Padalecki super fans online just following the new reboot. Man, I see fan drawings of Jared shirtless every day when I scroll through Instagram, and I can't lie, I do stop on some of them.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. The main target audience for this is definitely Jared Padalecki fans.
They want to keep those fans coming back to the CW every week is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I guess the real question is, how much of this is a vehicle for the CW to keep Jared Padalecki now that Supernatural is gone? And how much of it is a vehicle for the Walker Texas Ranger mythos, the Cordell Walker character?
In the fans of that?
I'd say 90-10.
Yeah. It would be in the CW's best interest to appease both, if possible. I don't know if it's possible, and I'm curious to see.
Nope, 90-10. Padalecki Walker. That's
what you think?
You're in the 90-10,
yeah. I think it's pretty much all going to be...
Okay. You're a 90% Padalecki fan and a 10% Walker Texas Ranger fan? That's what you're saying? Personally, or do you think the show is going to be that?
I will jump through this Zoom and tear your throat out. No, I think that's what the CW hopes for.
You don't think they're thinking about us and fans of Roundhouse Roulette?
Maybe fans of the pod.
Yeah, I hope they're taking fans of Roundhouse Roulette into consideration when they created this reboot.
Well, I mean, we started this podcast. I don't think we even knew about this new show yet, did we?
No, I think it broke when we started, or I can't remember.
Yeah.
But
yeah, pretty soon into it, because we dove into the news tidbits every once in a while, but we knew very little to begin with.
We didn't even know it was on the CW
right
when we started the podcast. So it's kind of crazy that it was in development while we were getting this rolling here.
Well, I think we're all curious to see what the CW has in store for us. If you'd like to watch along at home, Walker airs Thursday nights on the CW and is available for free streaming on their website. No, they did not pay us to say that. When we come back, we'll give you our take on Walker, Episode 1. Don't go away. Welcome back. We hope you all enjoyed Episode 1 of CW's Walker. What did you guys think?
What did I think? By the end of it, I was just trying to think, like, why did they even need to use the same characters' names? They changed all the backstories. They changed the way they act. They changed the city it's in.
Yeah. It could have just been another police procedural.
Yeah.
They're like, well, it's a recognizable name. And
that's it.
It gives us a leg up over everything else.
And all of a sudden he has parents, and I say all of a sudden like it's a continuation. I know it's not a continuation. I have now learned what a reboot is.
You didn't know what a reboot is?
No, I was exposed as not knowing really what a reboot was when we talked about this like 6 months ago. And I was like, wait, so what? Like, where is he? Like, I don't get it. It's like...
So yeah, it's a reboot versus a what?
A Fuller House?
Yeah.
No, I agree with Bob. I feel like this is kind of a waste of the Walker intellectual property.
I will say they did have a few hallmarks of the show's form, which we can get into. But as far as the characters, yeah, the character of Walker in the original Walker is like a superhero. And he can't do any wrong. Okay.
He can't be sad.
No. Right? The main criticism I have about this Walker, and it's possible to change with further episodes and character development, is that I don't have a reason to care about him. He's kind of a downer every time you see him. Granted, he just lost his wife and they're trying to kick off that storyline. But when you're watching Walker, Texas Ranger, it's got to be fun in some level. You know what I mean? They even try to do this one scene where you kind of see this in the original Walker, where Trevette and Walker are talking over, oh, well, I got this evidence, and so we're going to do this. It's kind of like a pointless scene, and they throw in like an offhand joke. Well, they do that in this episode. And I was like, oh, that is kind of calling back to the original series. Jared Padalecki's Walker makes a joke about Beetlejuice, and it just doesn't land as really a joke. I've just sat through about 20 minutes of a guy mourning his dead wife over beers, and I'm supposed to laugh now? But at the same time, that does happen in the original series, too. You're not quite sure how to feel, so maybe they nailed it.
Yeah, and during that scene where they're trying like a little bit of levity, they're even playing cheese ball, like, jokey music,
too. The hokey music you'd hear in the OG Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the whoosh?
Yes.
Multiple Zoom, weird handheld Zoom transitions.
So again, they're staying true to that as well there.
Yeah, and I'd also say that the dialogue was quite clunky, and they were trying to fit a bit too much into one episode, which I think happens a bit with Walker, Texas Ranger sometimes.
Most definitely. And then another thing I saw was they had a lot of like the CW pop music being played during scenes. And sometimes to the detriment of the scene, like that one scene of Walker and his daughter talking at the park, while they're really having kind of a heartfelt moment and maybe the emotional peak of the episode, they had this pop music playing and you couldn't really feel what was happening. If they had just muted that music, it would have been a way more powerful scene to me.
Or they could have broken into Stand Together.
Speaking of the music, though, I was curious to see if they redo the theme song, you know?
I'm guessing it might just not have credits or like an intro song. Like, that's something that may not happen on the CW now. I don't know.
For listeners, we recorded this, so we just watched the broadcast version of it, not online. So we might have missed the intro if there was one. But it would be pretty amazing if Chuck Norris sang the intro to this new reboot.
There's no way.
I don't think it's totally divorced from
anything Chuck Norris.
Yeah. So I do think they were trying to straddle the line, honestly, because they did kind of have a serious tone to it, which kind of makes you think that they might be catering to the older crowd, but there was a little too emotional as well. So maybe a little bit in the CW direction. I don't know. What do you think, Evan?
Okay, I'm going to list some things off for you guys, okay? just please some do. Things. Some things thrown out there. Okay, Full House, X-Files, Twin Peaks, Roseanne, Magnum P.I., Hawaii Five-O, MacGyver. These are all TV shows that took place anywhere from the 70s to the 90s. They had cult followings, and these cult followings were then targeted with subsequent reboots or continuation shows in the last 5 to 10 years. Walker is very different from that, in that they are not targeting the original viewers of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
They are targeting supernatural viewers who are obsessed with Jared Padalecki, and they're merely using the Walker character as a means to generate some form of buzz around turning him into some grizzled cowboy. That's mm-hmm. basically it.
He was grizzled.
I'll also say this.
Keeping your
this
pants
show,
off.
This show airs Thursday nights, right? Saturday nights, the original time when Walker Texas Ranger aired on CBS. The slate for Saturday night now are NCIS Los Angeles, SWAT, and 48 Hours. All of these shows basically target the demographic that Walker Texas Ranger left behind when it went off air. Okay. This is the demographic that Walker left behind.
I do think it's telling that on the same day that Jared Padalecki's Walker premiere dropped, Chuck Norris's Walker Texas Ranger also aired two episodes because the 28-year-old show is still in heavy syndication. So he had twice as many episodes airing the same day as the reboot. Albeit they were at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning. But.
Right, yeah, like 4 in the morning.
But there's something telling about that, that Chuck Norris's Walker never left TV.
Yeah, I mean, what I was going to say before is like there's so many cop dramas now. And the one thing I will say about this is like there aren't any cop dramas that are like pseudo-Westerns.
Right.
There were horses in the episode. Did you guys see the horses?
I did see the very pretty horses.
Yes. And they talked about the ranch, used some like work terms.
Yeah.
Birthing seasons.
Mitch Pileggi from X-Files was Walker's dad. I mean, I thought he was a convincing dad.
He was good.
Yeah.
The father and mother, very well acted.
Yep.
I will say I was shocked to see that the character Cordell Walker in this reboot also drives what appears to be a Ooh. Dodge truck, although they do not appear to have the official blessing of Ram. So yeah, they haven't shown the logo on the truck or anywhere, but there are a couple scenes, like the front grill totally looks like a Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
And there are a couple scenes where you see a steering wheel and it kind of mm-hmm. looks like the Ram head.
Yeah,
I spotted that.
But in this case, instead of the muted, cold, calculating gray of Chuck Norris's Walker, this is more of a passionate, hot-headed maroon color instead.
Mm-hmm. It did have the brush guard on the front, though, like the original. That was nice. Yeah. I didn't see any lights or a roll bar on the top, but those have gone out of fashion, maybe.
Well, he's in Austin, you know. He's a city slicker.
Yeah.
And I guess they kind of changed the dynamic of Walker and Trivette to more of a Gage and Sydney dynamic because Walker's partnered with Mickey Ramirez, who picks him up for a DUI the night before of some sort, but kind of gets him off because, you know, cops got each other's back kind of situation. And then she's partnered up with him the next day, and it's kind of like a comical scene that you would see in the original Walker where they kind of just reveal her by walking on the camera, and you're like, oh, it's the chick who arrested me last night kind of thing, right?
That was completely and totally predictable. I mean, I guess I've seen too many like CW bad TV shows, but that was entirely predictable. The criminals having their drugs inside of the little white statues that they're selling.
Yeah.
Totally predictable.
Yeah.
And where the daughter was at the end, also totally predictable.
What about the bad guys of the episode? They cast some Walker-looking villains.
I guess. Yeah, the guy that ran the shop was pretty white. Trache Blanc.
Yeah. Tiger King.
Yeah.
Lindsay Morgan's character, Walker's new partner, I thought she was pretty good in the series, and I was more interested in what she was doing than what Walker was doing, and I think that's the problem. Like, she kind of gave you a reason to like the character, and there was no reason to like Walker whatsoever because he's kind of a deadbeat.
That's actually how the CW works, Adam, or really how like any sort of teen drama works. There's usually a male lead who is very attractive and he acts like a total dick, and people are totally blind to this. That character usually has lots of friends or people who stick up for him being a total jerk to everybody around
him. For no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, if this person existed in real life, everybody would hate them and they'd have no friends. But instead, they've got like a family, they've got friends, and everyone's like, oh, you're so great. And fans of the show are totally rabid about this character.
So kind of like Arrow on the CW. He's a dick to everybody, but they always stand by him.
Yeah. I would say also like it's a Fox show, but that show Lucifer, the lead in that, he's literally the devil and he acts like a total D-bag the whole time. But people fall in love with him and all this. It's like, what is everyone smoking here? It's nuts. Yeah. Anyways, so I think Padalecki's Walker kind of has some of that in it as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, but I will say she kind of kept it going for me. Even the scene when she was playing Buckle Bunny with her boyfriend.
I don't know. There's
why'd they mention that the belt buckle was made by an inmate or something?
Yeah, there are a lot of like weird. There's way too much information exchanged.
A lot of exposition that was totally needless.
And actually, the first lines we really hear between Padalecki and his new partner before he knows that she's going to be his partner, he says, basically something along the lines of, been a while since I've had a conversation with somebody. And I'm like, okay, they're at least, at least they're giving some sort of out for clunky dialogue. So.
Yeah. I'm learning how to speak again.
Right. You know, and then immediately, you know, he's like bearing his soul to this random stranger. And she's like, oh, sounds like you're undercover. And he's like, text a stranger, and she's like, oh, it's great, respect, yeah. And it's like, what? This conversation would never happen.
Yeah. And then the next scene, when she is like talking to her boyfriend who's back from the service for a little bit, she's like, oh, I'm paired up with the legendary Cordell Walker. And you're like, wait, this guy is like 5 years older than you and he's legendary.
They kind of played that up a little bit, but in not keeping with their own exposition. They give no explanation for why he's legendary. So they're like waiting for him to come back. And they're like, oh man, everyone's talking about how great you are and all this stuff. I would have loved to have heard those stories instead of seeing him moping around.
Yeah, even if they had other people tell about how awesome he was, you know, then you'd be like, oh, there's reason to like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, you got to remove legendary. I'm sorry. And then at the end of the episode, he's being cussed out by his boss.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Like, yeah, Chuck Norris is walking. He would never get cussed out.
Yeah, think of Top Dog. He'd just roll his eyes and then get paired up with the dog. But he'd still get the job done.
Well, actually, maybe you're right, Evan. Maybe Jared Padalecki's character is paired off of Chuck Norris's character in Top Dog.
More insubordinate than always right.
Yeah. Mm.
Although his character in Top Dog is both insubordinate and always right. So,
well, as listeners of Roundhouse Roulette know, we chart all the roundhouse kicks, fights, explosions, and car chases for every episode of the original Walker Texas Ranger on our website, roundhouseroulette.com. We thought it'd be interesting to also chart those for this first pilot, to see if they're keeping it in line with the original. Because let's be honest, the reason we watch the original Walker Texas Ranger are for those things. We're not there for the story. We're there to see the fights, explosions, car chases, things that are ridiculously absurd. Evan, why don't you run us down the stats for this episode?
I think you can really only say there's stat, which is there were no roundhouse kicks, no car chases, no explosions. And I'm being generous here. Two fights.
Yeah, maybe two punches thrown.
Yeah, I would call one a light scuffle. And another is...
confrontation?
Near the end when they finally confront like the drug dealers and the lady pulls a gun.
Yeah.
And Ramirez kicks the gun out of her hand. I'm like, okay, this is getting somewhere. And then she tries to drive away in a van and they push down a bunch of boxes get in front of the van. I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then it was over. And I was like, wait, this has to be like drawn out and 10 minutes long.
And that was all her. Jared didn't do any of that. Jared's Walker was not being legendary.
He pushed the boxes down.
He pushed a series of shelves that went over.
Okay, sorry. I see objects moving in a warehouse and assume they're empty cardboard boxes. That's my Walker filter.
Yeah, but I think she first punched the lady into a wire shelf that knocked over, which is just like the original Walker. And then Walker pushed over a series of shelves in a domino fashion, just like the OG Walker. But it happened really fast. It was not prolonged. There was no slow-mo. And we got to throw out some of the woke moments in this, because this is definitely a modern-day thing. I mean, they bring up illegal immigrants, which it's great. I mean, that's good that they brought up that serious issue.
Well, it wasn't until the end, but they talk about how when his wife was killed, she was actually putting out food and water for people crossing the border. Oh, they didn't say crossing the border, but that was, they were in the desert. Like, why would you just leave out food and water?
Which, if they live in Austin, I think a drive from Austin to the border is like 4 hours.
Really?
I'm looking I'm looking this up.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know. I was just like, oh, it must be really close. I have no idea.
And that was kind of a weird way to open it up, too, was him like telling his wife to be safe, almost as if he knew that she was going to be murdered. Oh, and we got to talk about when she tries to call him, right? And it looks like she's been shot. And he's trying to call her, but she's not picking up. Even in this episode, they say he has a spider sense. And that might explain what happens here, because he literally kind of is just like, oh, she's not picking up, so she must be dead. And he leaves out a classic, no!
Yeah, that's like more emotion than Walker has ever shown on Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah,
bad guys are supposed to do that, not Walker.
Right, and like, if for some reason Alex went missing, Walker wouldn't just stand around and try calling a cell phone. He'd go out there, track her down, rescue her, and jail the kidnappers. So, yeah, Austin, I think the closest potential border crossing is over 3.5 hours away. In Texas, they're big into driving long distances, and you can go like 80 on the highways, but even so, it's easily over 3 hours for her to drive out to the border. It doesn't really seem like something that someone would just casually do on a weeknight.
I don't know. I don't think people of the original Walker signed up to watch Walker learn how to father his kids. I mean, we kind of wanted to see Walker bust some skulls. Honestly, if they killed off the Walker character and just had the Mickey Ramirez character become Walker, I'd be in.
Yeah, she's got more attitude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's got the fire.
Exactly. I think for fans of Jared Padalecki, they're going to like the show regardless. This wasn't a strikeout. For fans of the original Walker, Texas Ranger, probably not your cup of tea.
I mean, they don't have enough action to appeal to
our baser instincts.
Sure. And not only that, they also aren't including like weird mystical or magical things, which I would say 90% of CW shows include.
He did see ghosts. He did see his dead wife.
I mean,
at least twice.
Yeah, now
I think
that's how they would course correct. They would actually turn her into an actual phantasm.
It's possible. That could have been.
You know, then he sort of turned into Walker Ghost Hunter or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose a lot of Supernatural viewers because of that, quite frankly.
As we were talking with Mignon about this, she said the Walker intellectual property is just waiting to be repurposed. The main thing that is being called upon for this CW reboot is the name Walker itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us know what you think out there. We're curious to hear your thoughts on the reboot. And, I mean, I'm definitely going to keep watching at least the next few and whatnot. But our main bread and butter here on the podcast is Chuck Norris, is Walker, Texas Ranger. And we have no intention of straying. We're staying the course.
Yeah, I'm not shy in saying that I'm probably never going back to Jared Padalecki's Walker. So.
Bob, are you going to revisit? You're going to rewatch this episode tonight probably after we're done.
Nope. No, I will not. I've had enough.
Yeah, I kind of just want to just like pound a bunch of Walker Texas Ranger episodes just to get the bad taste out of my mouth.
Here we go. Man, kind of like Jared's Walker was pounding beers to forget his dead wife in this episode, right?
Yeah, Walker doesn't drink. What are they talking about?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. We haven't seen a wisp of alcohol cross Chuck Norris's lips. Nine seasons.
Yeah, that was another thing, I guess. These are some different boots.
He's raising teenage kids, right? And he's never had like workplace conflicts with them until his wife dies.
Yeah,
that's seems, completely yeah. and totally unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know, they weren't like teenagers
months before,
then.
No, months prior, they were having a great time just playing Parcheesi or whatever.
Yeah, it was actually 11 months prior. You
sure,
know, and they great. Let us know that like 20 times.
Okay, I'm sorry. 11 months. Yeah, it's completely unbelievable.
What, you don't think a teenage kid defies logic, Evan? You don't think that they're emotional and can't be caged in?
Yes, but they were teenagers 11 months prior.
Sometimes, you know, the hormones change and people become different people like, within certain months, you know. And it was just at that breaking point, and all it took was their mother to be murdered and their father to go AWOL.
Like you're just making excuses, man.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not saying I believe these things.
Okay.
Someone has to defend the CW Walker, and that's what I've taxed myself with here.
Well, I hope you enjoy subsequent episodes. Good luck with that.
That's fun.
Well, we hope our discussion was of some use to you.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. As you know, our main priority is sharing the light of Chuck Norris's Walker, Texas Ranger to the world. But let us know if you're interested in future minisodes and updates on this reboot. As always, you can troll us on social media or by emailing us at roundhouseroulette@gmail.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we finally return to our normal format, which is recapping and reviewing another action-packed episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
OG.
Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, may the eyes of the Ranger be upon you.
When you're in Texas, look behind you.
Oh, 'cause that's where the Ranger's gonna be.